Mazzara and Parra project to Alamora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Whoa, if you think there's a lot to talk about when there's a 15-game night, how about 16 games on the schedule yesterday and plenty of storylines here on the Wednesday edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. In fact, Scott White has at least 2 pages of handwritten notes on the yellow notepad front.
Incorrect, sir. Incorrect.
Really? Fewer?
Only 1 page, one side. I've you know, curtailed the notes a bit at this stage in the season. One side of 1 page is still pretty impressive considering, because yesterday or Monday, I think I had only like half a, no, not Monday. Yesterday, I had only like half a page.
And it's very green because Scott can flip the page over and he has a whole other day that he gets out of that paper.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's just going in the waste basket.
But so, at least the recycling one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so not pure refuse.
But you're phoning it in right now, you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when Jaime Garcia has a 5-inning outing, it's no longer noteworthy because he just always does that. So there are certain pitching performances now that just mean absolutely nothing to me. So why take notes on it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm in the same boat. I never know if I should put Gio Gonzalez and Jaime Garcia, guys like that, in the notes. Oftentimes I put them in there. I say their name. They don't get mentioned. And that's that, because at this point of the season, we want to talk about players that are really going to impact the rest of your fantasy season, players that are going to help you win or contribute to you losing if you keep riding them a little bit too long. Send us your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. No diggity. I like to Skaggs it up. Do you guys want to Skaggs it up? Are you interested in Tyler Skaggs? 56% owned after 7 scoreless innings, 3 hits, but only 4 swinging strikes at Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. I definitely want to Skaggs it up, as you just put it.
Uh-huh.
Nessie, I don't know the reference, so I have no idea if I just
I like
said
the way you work it. No diggity. I like to bag it up. You don't know that song, Al?
I don't.
Well, now you do. I like to Skaggs it up. I'm going to try a new pop culture reference with Tyler Skaggs' name every time we talk about him. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I've done the thrift shop thing for a few years now, so we're moving on to something new. But yeah, I'm 56% owned. He was only unowned in one of my leagues, and I dropped Ryan Healy for him. So
yeah, that's the whole thing, is that I was interested in Skaggs when he was nearing the end of the rehab assignment. He was unavailable at that point. So.
Right. Well, you know, obviously we're playing with different people than the majority of CBSSports.com users, probably.
But you all should pick him up.
Yeah. I agree. There's not a league where he's unowned that I'm in. And I hadn't noticed the 4 swinging strike stat, but he was getting plenty of swinging strikes on his minor league rehab assignment. It was the most impressive minor league rehab assignment I've ever seen.
Yeah, I watched a few innings of the start last night, and he's got 3 pitches, which is good. Changeup, curveball, and fastball that was anywhere from 91 to 95. And 88 pitches, 63 strikes. That's a really good ratio. 20 called strikes and the 4 swinging strikes. And it was the Royals. They don't strike out a ton. So 56.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
56%. Yeah, well, no, whatever you're going to say.
Well, just I actually am not giving him the free pass based on the matchup, because they've been a little less, I guess, contact prone this year than they've been the last couple of seasons of Royals. But yeah, the other ratios that you mentioned, the called strikes, the strikes thrown rate, very impressive. And yeah, you dump that on top of what he did in the rehab assignment, and he's certainly worth a try.
The Royals are really bad.
I'd try to throw that out there.
Maybe I'll wait for Heath tomorrow, but the Royals are bad.
I don't care what Heath says to you on the podcast. He recognizes they're bad in private quarters.
He will probably be more adamant about that than we are, actually, being a homer and all.
Yeah, maybe. And they really might trade Wade Davis, so Kelvin Herrera is somebody you might want to consider stashing. But let me throw out some names of roster bottom feeders that people might have. would you drop for Tyler Skaggs, Anthony DeSclafani?
Nah, wouldn't do that.
I mean, if I had to, if that was my low guy, I do like Skaggs more, but you know, I'm not in a vacuum, I'm not into the idea of dropping DeSclafani.
How about Brandon McCarthy or DeSclafani?
Same deal for me. I'll take Skaggs over him, but McCarthy is ownable.
Yeah, see, I'm not dropping either of those guys for Skaggs because I think they've got similar potential.
How about Andrew Cashner? Al, I saw you pick Cashner up in one or two leagues last week. He didn't do that badly. He did give up two home runs, but six innings, three runs at Toronto last night, 38% owned. Who do you guys like better, Cashner or Skaggs?
I do like Skaggs better than Cashner. I felt like Cashner was kind of my consolation prize for not getting Skaggs. That said, I viewed that as a pretty good start from Cashner against the Blue Jays. Okay. I really feared that he would get blown up. So
he did not.
He did not. And in those leagues where I picked Cashner up, I still benched him this week, and now I feel safe starting him.
All right, two more things on Skaggs before we end this and move on, because there's a lot to get to with Trey Turner staying in the lineup in center field yesterday, Joey Gallo coming up, Raul Mondesi coming up, Stephen Wright. We have another excuse for another bad Stephen Wright outing. I want to know how much you guys buy it, but just one negative thing with Skaggs. Well, I don't know if it's negative, but he's got Boston in his next start, so if he doesn't do well, don't give up on him. And I think the only thing that sort of tempered my enthusiasm with Skaggs was Archie Bradley. You know, remember how good he was in, I guess it was his first two starts. He's coming back, excluding that one against the Cubs.
But he had a glaring flaw that has resurfaced, and that's the control. Skaggs does not have control issues.
Okay.
Well, and I want to point out, too, that, you know, what I said about Skaggs is give him a try. So it's not like I, you know, have complete confidence that Skaggs is going to be a total stud going forward. I love the upside, which is why I wouldn't drop somebody like DeSclafani, who I feel like I have a good idea of what he can be going forward. If it's somebody that really is sort of, you know, holds a tenuous place in my roster, I want Skaggs' upside and the possibility that he's that going to be that stud.
I think the floor for Skaggs is like a fringy mixed league option.
Okay.
And then the upside is kind of what we were seeing from Aaron Nola earlier in the season. So I think that range of possibilities for Skaggs makes him must own in my eyes.
All right, guys. So coming up on today's show, we are going to spend some time on Joey Votto. We're going to talk about Andrew McCutchen and Bryce Harper. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to try to grade some trades at the end of the show. And tonight is such a fascinating night. I need 16 TVs for tonight's games. We got, I'll tell you about all the pitchers that are going tonight, but tomorrow's show is going to be a big ad drop kind of show. Call-ups, though. This isn't exactly a call-up, but it's kind of prospect-y. Trey Turner stays up as Ryan Zimmerman comes off the DL. Lucas Giolito and Michael Taylor back to AAA. And Turner, who's 61% owned, started in center field. He led off. He went 1-for-4 with a run and a steal and two strikeouts. So he strikes out a lot, but he steals a lot of bases. He's got some triples as well. Anyway, Trey Turner, 61% owned. Joey Gallo homered yesterday. He batted sixth. He played first base. With Elvis Andrews a little banged up, they had Jurickson Profar at shortstop. They had Mitch Moreland DHing. Gallo's 47% owned. And Raul Mondesi got called up by the Royals. He batted ninth. He played second base and went 0-for-3. Rank those three now in order of excitement. Giolito, Joey Gallo, Raul. Not Giolito. Trey Turner, Joey Gallo, Raul Mondesi. Go ahead.
You just did it.
Yeah?
Turner, Gallo, Mondesi.
Yeah, well, Mondesi's a distant third. It might be a close call for me between Gallo and Turner, because I think there is, I'm not confident the Nats are like, okay, Trey Turner's our starting center fielder now. I think it's another way to work him into the lineup on occasion. I'm not saying the Rangers are saying Gallo's their everyday first baseman either, but it would be so easy for them to just move Mitch Moreland to the bench. I mean, hasn't been doing anything for them this year. Gallo keeps homering like he did. Monster shot the other way on Tuesday. And of course we know he has light tower power. It's just how often is he going to make contact. But I think a hot streak is going to make Gallo pretty much a fixture in the Rangers lineup. And he's outfield eligible, which is huge.
Yeah, and now if you see Gallo starts playing regularly, are you ready to at least sit or entertain dropping Jason Hayward, Justin Upton for Gallo?
I think you're going a little higher than you need to.
Yeah.
All right. How about, well, like Jacoby Ellsbury in a points league, I think you make that swap, right?
Yeah, he's pretty fringy in a points league and can't really do much with him in Roto since it's so hard to get steals anywhere.
I saw Alex Gordon is about 48% owned. I mean, drop that guy like a bad habit. Pick up somebody with upside. So, okay, maybe you want to get Turner and Gallo on your squad, and we will see how that plays out. Just last question. If Gallo plays every day, do you think, because he came up last year and got off to a great start. Didn't he hit two home runs in his first game?
I think he did, yeah. And like three in the first two or four in the first three, something like that.
Right, he went nuts. Do you think he'll be better? I mean, a lot better, significantly enough to, you know, be worth starting. What's your best guess on Gallo?
It would be a guess. My guess would be no, because I mean, he was still hitting like 240 at AAA, but it's about you know, investing in the lot. You can't win the lottery if you don't buy the ticket, you know.
Sure.
That's kind of the way I see it with Gallo. That's the way I see it with most prospects, but him especially.
Is that why I haven't won the lottery yet? Because I haven't won.
Yeah, you got to buy the ticket.
Have you ever bought a ticket?
I've bought a ticket maybe 6-7 times in my life. Is that not enough to expect to win the lottery?
Oh, no, that's plenty. Odds are really in your favor.
You get a chance as long as you buy one. I bought one lottery ticket ever, matched zero of the numbers. I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
Was that Powerball? Like, and it was...
That was the time when everybody was buying it, like, 3 or 4 months ago.
Ah,
yeah.
I
got sucked in.
Well, there were pitchers, some highly owned, universally owned, and highly started pitchers on the mound yesterday. I want to talk about these guys. Noah Syndergaard, and I think they all could concern you to varying degrees. Some were really good yesterday. Well, whatever. I'll stop talking. Noah Syndergaard, 6 innings, 2 runs, eight strikeouts, but 3 walks. He labored a little bit against St. Louis and has been kind of up and down lately. Felix Hernandez, 4 runs on 9 hits with only 3 strikeouts and 6 innings. And Danny Salazar struggled yesterday against Washington. And Salazar has 3 quality starts in his last 8 starts. Steven Wright. All right, you want to know what the excuse was this time?
What was the excuse?
It was too hot and muggy, and he was sweating too. I actually kind of buy it. I mean, this because his fingers were moist because from all the sweat. It's freaking hot as heck in the Northeast. And the ball, his knuckleball was moving differently. But it just seems like every time there's not ideal weather conditions, there's a problem for Steven Wright.
Well, and the weather probably isn't going to get a whole lot better over the next at least month.
Yeah, depends where he is. I think he's at the Angels in his next start. That could be a lot better than what he was dealing with yesterday.
But this has been an extended rough patch now. I know the previous start, he was kind of a bounce-back start. But for the most part, he's been struggling for the better part of a month now. And maybe it's no coincidence that it's during the hottest part of the season, the wettest part of the season in a lot of cases. And maybe it's going to be something that plagues him throughout the career. Just when it gets the hotter time of year for him is not going to be so kind.
I also worried that for Wright and for Salazar, maybe they're wearing down a little bit.
It's possible. I feel like you don't often consider that with knuckleballers, and maybe you should, but obviously they're not putting as much on their arms as most pitchers are.
So of the Syndergaard, Felix I think is pretty worrisome. Salazar and Steven Wright, you know, we kind of touched on Wright, and I know he has struggled when it's rained. For example, the grand slam he gave up when it started raining against CJ Cron about 5 starts ago. You can't sit Salazar, but how about Felix Hernandez? Can you sit Felix Hernandez at this point?
I think you should sit Felix Hernandez at this point. He's really not given you any reason so far this year. I mean, I know he missed a lot of time, but before and after now, he's not giving you any reasons really to have confidence in him.
He was decent before.
I mean, the ERA was good, but
yeah, I mean, even with these two rocky starts, he has a 3.45 ERA. Yeah, had a 2.21 ERA through his first nine starts. I don't
trust that though. You know, you're not getting strikeouts from him the way that you expect. He hasn't, for the most part, pitched with very good control. It just seems like starts like this one could very much be the norm.
I would sit him until he shows his changeups back, because that's been, he hasn't had the feel for his changeup since returning, and he's gotten pounded. I don't feel like, you know, velocity issues, strikeout issues, like we've seen him rebound from those so many times in his career. I don't think it's like a long-term concern.
My personal opinion, having watched the start last night, Justin last night's start, I don't think velocity is really the issue. He's shown that he can survive at 91, 92. He couldn't throw his breaking ball for a strike, and they're sitting on his fastball, and he threw some fastballs over the plate, and they got hammered by Liriano, by Gregory Polanco. Both those guys took him deep, yet Liriano took him deep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, well, I haven't looked at the percentage of pitches thrown, but the story the Mariners were telling was he had to rely on his breaking balls a lot more than usual, because his changeup is like his dominant pitch, yeah, and he just doesn't have it.
Yeah. Okay, and then Chris Archer had seven innings of three-run ball, but only four hits and one earned run. No walks and eight strikeouts. A very encouraging start at the Dodgers. He did give up a home run. That's been an issue. But three straight starts for Archer without allowing a run in the first inning, and he was really good at Colorado last time out. How encouraged are you guys by Chris Archer?
I'm really encouraged, and I think it's safe to start Archer now.
Yep, must start again.
You know, it's really fared well. Not so much the Dodgers, but in the previous two starts with, you know, tough matchups. Just looking much more like he did last season.
25 strikeouts to three walks and 20 and a third innings last three.
I got into it a little bit with Heath yesterday. Verlander versus Archer. Who would you guys prefer?
It's pretty close. I rank Verlander ahead. I feel like there's a higher floor with him, but Archer, I mean,
higher ceiling for Archer.
Yeah,
but no, that said, I'll definitely take Verlander with the greater safety.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Danny Salazar or, well, how about rank these three: Felix, Salazar, Stephen Wright.
Salazar, Felix, Wright.
I'll for now put Wright slightly ahead of Felix. I don't really want to start either one of them, but okay. Salazar far in front.
In the bullpen, guys, Jonathan Papelbon had another bad outing. People dump on Papelbon every year, and he's given up seven runs in his last two appearances. And he had a 2.56 ERA like 4 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. Now it's 4.18. But I know they want to trade. I know they want to improve their bullpen. Same situation with Santiago Casilla. He got his 22nd save last night, but Casilla gave up a run. Romo struggled in the eighth. That bullpen's kind of a mess. Papelbon and Casilla owners, what do you tell them right now?
Casilla owners, I think you just hold tight with him, because there's not really a handcuff option that I like very much for Casilla. And, you know, 2 years ago, it seemed like Casilla and Romo kind of threw that job back and forth a bit, but Casilla's weathered a lot of difficult situations since then. And so I have a lot of confidence that Bochy will just keep Casilla in that role. Papelbon, I think you need to look for a replacement there. And it's just unfortunate for me, because I've been stashing Sean Kelly in some leagues that I don't think it's going to do me any good because you said, they'll trade for their solution.
You know, if you have Papelbon and, oh, I always try to avoid saying his name. For some reason, I haven't memorized it yet.
We'll help you out.
Sunwan Oh.
Yes. Yeah,
I think it was close.
The Cardinals closer. Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, him.
He's less than 70% owned.
Yeah.
Maybe less than 60. And he has, I think, plenty of job security. Dominant.
Will Harris
numbers
is very underowned, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would take either over Papelbon.
Okay. Jim Johnson got a save for Atlanta. David Robertson bounced back. He got a save. And Carlos Estevez, now 37% owned. And he's got five saves since the All-Star break for the Rockies. The Rockies are playing better, Estevez again, you know, I don't know how, if you want to chase wins with the Rockies, basically, you need them to play better for him to get more save opportunities, but he's available.
And, you know, while we're talking potential replacements, because I think Estevez would actually be, a passable option to back up Papelbon with, but Brandon Maurer has been really terrific since becoming the Padres closer.
Yeah, even a little before that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, probably 3 weeks or so before. So he's, I think, owned right around the same level as Estevez.
I'd take Maurer over Carlos Estevez at this point.
I would too, definitely.
By the way, and maybe this is something that just slipped by me all these years, but if you do a Google search for Carlos Estevez, you know what the first thing is that comes up?
Is it Emilio Estevez?
Charlie Sheen's Wikipedia page, because Charlie Sheen's birth name is Carlos Estevez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
I knew he and Emilio Estevez were related, but I never really went through the process of figuring out why they have different last names, you know?
But, well, Charlie Sheen played baseball in high school. I don't know about beyond that, but you know, so who knows what's going on here?
Yeah. Carlos Estevez.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Checkered pass, that Carlos Estevez. Be careful. So some news and notes for you. AJ Ramos was unavailable due to a finger injury. Maybe you want to put Fernando Rodney on the radar, Al?
Maybe. I mean, definitely would be the option the Marlins would go with there. So,
yeah,
I think you got to watch the situation and track Rodney's availability in your leagues.
Brett Laurie is going to go on the DL with a hamstring injury. Carlos Rodon expects to start next week. Gerardo Parra will start a rehab assignment Friday. Bartolomeo Colon, according to my phone, will start on 3 days rest this week.
What is Bartolomeo?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I was as surprised as you are. That would have made no sense to me.
It looks so
funny. I think that's
funny.
Come up for me, too.
Really?
It has two M's. Bartolomeo.
Maybe I spelled it wrong. Maybe it was only one M in my phone. But Bartolomeo Colon, 3 days rest this weekend against Colorado. That's interesting. Jose Reyes is going to be out a few days with a side strain. I'm going to go with the over on a few days.
Definitely.
Yeah, intercostal. So Dilson Herrera, ESPN.com mentioned Dilson Herrera as a replacement. Why not Wilmer Flores?
Why not? Yeah, that's my question.
Well, if you're in an NL-only league, would you pick up Wilmer Flores?
If he's available, I absolutely would.
Flores, power, contact. I want to see that bat more regularly.
You like Herrera? I like Herrera.
I like Herrera too. Yeah, so it's hard to be sad about that.
Mets, just tell us who to pick up, okay?
Yep.
Julio Teheran expected to start on Saturday. Homer Bailey expected to start on Sunday. Matt Duffy could start a rehab assignment this weekend. Yasiel Puig could play today or could go on the DL. It's getting to be decision time for Yasiel Puig. Rich Hill could start on Sunday, and Nelson Cruz left yesterday's game with a sore foot. Does not seem too serious, but you're going to want to check on Nelson Cruz. All right, so as I mentioned, I'm interested in watching just about every single pitcher tonight. Yu Darvish, Danny Duffy, Garrett Cole, Shoemaker, Bundy, Paxton. There are actually several more. I'm also interested in starting most of those guys in my leagues. I can only do that via FanDuel. I can enter multiple FanDuel contests. I can have a Darvish lineup. I can have a Paxton lineup. I can have a McCullers lineup. FanDuel gives you flexibility and options that you just don't have in your seasonal leagues. FanDuel gives you daily excitement that you probably don't have until Sundays in your seasonal leagues. And FanDuel gives you a chance to win some money every single day. And that's why we love playing on FanDuel.com. New users, enter your first league, win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, on FanDuel.com. Now it's time to talk about some hitters. And it will do it via email and tweet. Email of the day number one is from JJ, a small town boy. There is no indication of whether or not he is living in a lonely world.
Not anymore, because we're there with him.
Exactly. Can we just talk about how good Joey Votto has been the past 2 months? Heath and Scott have Posey in front of Votto.
Not anymore.
Okay. Heath also has Chris Davis in front of Votto. Stop it.
That is a direct command.
Yeah,
wow.
Stop it, Heath.
That is some strong language. You know, I don't think it's... Even though Votto is You know, I'd go as far as to say he's all the way back. I'm looking up the numbers now since June 1st, 355 batting average, 9 home runs. You know, even coming off the year he had last year, it's not like he and Posey were drafted far apart, and Posey's the top catcher. I mean, he hasn't exactly disappointed either. So I don't think it's crazy to keep Posey ahead of Votto, but at the same time, I do prefer to, I would prefer to own Votto, and yeah, he's back.
Yeah, well, Votto is now the number 8 first baseman in both points leagues and roto leagues. If you're playing an OBP league, he might be even higher than that. And over
he's
the
moved,
last 20...
He's moved past Miggy, at least going into yesterday's games in points leagues.
Yeah, well, they both homered yesterday, but over his last 23 games, there's only one hitter who's been better than Joey Votto. That's Josh Donaldson. Altuve has also been better in roto. So in points leagues, Votto's number 2 hitter overall. In his last 23 games, and in roto, he's number 3 behind Donaldson and Altuve. I guess I will ask before the trade deadlines are here, would you try to sell high on Joey Votto?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Okay. Email of the day number 2 is from Justin in Texas. Dear Fantasy Norm, Cliff, and Frazier.
Yeah, that's Cheers.
Yeah, I was watching a little Cheers a few weeks ago. Just still great show. Very funny.
I've never watched a Cheers episode.
Oh, it's like winning the lottery. You're never gonna do it, Scott.
Is it like Seinfeld that just never gets old? Like you just rewatch Cheers episodes over and over again.
I haven't watched a Cheers rerun in a really long time, so I don't think it's aged as well.
Mm.
Okay. I think it got kind of bad toward the end.
It did.
So hung on too long.
You gotta get prime Cheers years. It's a great show though. Justin has a more important question. Is it time to bench Harper and McCutcheon until they turn it around?
I'd say definitely no on Harper. McCutcheon maybe in a 3 outfielder league if you're really stacked there, but I'm pretty unlikely in either case.
Yeah, well, I thought about benching McCutcheon this week because they had a 5-day week, but I didn't. Yep.
That seems like an overreaction for Harper, though, because obviously he's underwhelmed, but compared to the replacement level outfielder in fantasy, it's still no contest.
Yeah, but let's say you had Dexter Fowler or something like that. Would you consider that for either Harper or McCutcheon?
I'm looking up to see how Fowler's done since he's come back, because he wasn't doing so hot before he went down. It seemed like there was a lot of regression to the mean happening there.
Yeah, I regardless of what Scott finds up, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'm getting pretty damn frustrated with McCutcheon, though. I figured that this whole thing is health-related. He's been a little banged up. I was hoping the All-Star break would turn things around. And also, I kind of feel like you guys have blind loyalty to Bryce Harper. Maybe he hasn't earned it other than 1 year.
Well, like Scott said, I mean, yeah, blind loyalty in terms of, you know, how long I had as the number one outfielder. Okay, I'll own that. But he hasn't played his way out of even a 3 outfielder league.
He's a power hitter with more walks than strikeouts. I can never get behind calling that guy anything less than awesome.
Do you have the rankings up right now in front of you?
Yeah.
So who's around him?
In terms of actual performance?
Yeah.
All right, let me click on the outfield tab. I mean, he's top 10, I know, in points leagues. And the guys around him... Oh, you know what? He's actually fallen to 11th, so he's not top 10 in points leagues. But the guys around him are like Trumbo, Cargo, Cruz, Bradley.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with the low man in the group there, Jackie Bradley. I mean, would we even be talking about benching Jackie Bradley?
Bradley's actually the high guy because I was just kind of bouncing around.
Okay.
But,
well,
no,
in my mind,
no,
he'd be the low man in that group, and I'm not thinking about benching Jackie Bradley.
No.
Well, I will tell you that Harper is 16th or 17th, I think, in Roto, and Adam Duvall passed him.
Well, it's not like you're benching Duvall and Roto, right?
No, it's hard to bench Harper. I get it, but
hard to.
I don't even know why you're
wrong.
No, you wouldn't do it. I would never do it. McCutcheon definitely closer. Tweet of the day is from Corey Kelly. Would you drop Justin Upton for Tyler Naquin or Nomar Mazara? Upton is a huge bust this year. I'm in second place, and I'm not sure if I should sit on Justin Upton anymore. Upton or Naquin or Mazara?
Would I play Upton over Naquin right now? Probably not, but I'm not dropping Upton for Naquin or Mazzara.
Okay. Agreed.
All right, trade deadline stuff here. This happened while we were podcasting yesterday. Toronto acquired Melvin Upton Jr. Kind of interesting. The Padres are playing at the Blue Jays, but he couldn't just swap dugouts. He had to go to Buffalo to get his visa to work in Toronto. So that was fun. But
yeah,
you know, I guess there's some speculation that maybe they would sit. I wouldn't even say that. I just saw it or heard it somewhere. They would sit Michael Saunders against lefties for Upton. I think that would be silly. What do you guys think happens here with Upton and the rest of the Blue Jays?
My guess is going to be that Upton plays more often than not. We see a little more Encarnacion at first. Saunders out more often against lefties than he already is. Pilar will sit some. But playing time is going to go down some for Upton and I think significantly for Pilar.
You think so? Because can Upton play center field?
Yeah, he can. He was until this year. I mean, he probably has played some this year even.
A little bit, very little.
Yeah. I'm not as optimistic. I would think maybe, I think that put the ceiling at 50% playing time for Upton. I do think that the Blue Jays will want Pilar there for the superior defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, like Scott said, I see him stealing some time from Pilar and some time in left field. But I don't think it's going to be more than every other day. So I think it's a big hit to his value.
Saunders has a 1,000 OPS against lefties this year in 94 at-bats. So, like, he doesn't play all the time, but he's been good against lefties. Here's one scenario that I don't know if you guys can see this happening, but Upton, 903 OPS against lefties this year, 687 OPS against righties. So Justin Smoke plays against righties, and Upton plays against lefties with Bautista moving with Encarnacion playing first, Bautista DH, Upton in the outfield, and Upton is a left-handed partner or left-handed hitter in a platoon with Smoke.
So you're saying basically a platoon with Smoke instead of Saunders,
I've seen that. Yeah,
but I feel like Saunders really already is sitting against lefties for the most part. He started against the last lefty, but then sat against the two previous, and at least half the time he's sitting against lefties. So I don't think there's going to be like a pattern that they follow every single time. I think that makes sense what you laid out there, and I think sometimes it'll play out that way, but it's not going to be a strict blueprint.
Okay. Oh, I like that blueprint. Very funny. Blue Jays. Now,
completely unintentional. But I'm glad you found some humor in it.
We sort of, in my haste yesterday, reacting to the breaking news, I thought this would be an upgrade for Upton, for Melvin Upton.
Yeah, that was my first reaction too. I mean, better park, better lineup.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, he's having a career year, so it's weird because in his Rays days, it's not like there was ever a question: is this guy an everyday player? You know.
Well, do you think now that it's a downgrade for him?
With playing time issues, unless we find out that he is in the lineup every day. But I'll have to see that play out, or I'll have to see it spoken by John Gibbons.
Yeah. They didn't really give up that much for him. They gave up a 19-year-old and $5 million for Upton, and he could replace Bautista theoretically next year as well when Bautista is free agent. Might not come back. Okay, some random stats for you. Saw a tweet from SiriusXM's Ray Flowers. He retweeted this guy, Ryan Spader, the ace of Spader. Jed Jerko is the first St. Louis Cardinals player to homer in both games of a doubleheader multiple times in one season since Stan Musial in 1949. I think Ryan Spader is trying to say that Jed Jerko is clearly as good as Stan Musial and should be owned in all leagues. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree that that's what he's trying to say. I don't agree. It's true. By the way, that's a great account. You should follow him, Adam.
Yeah, actually, he seems like he's got some pretty interesting stats. The ace of Spader, Spaeder. Jerko's 27% owned, 6 or 7 home runs in his last 9 games. Anybody jumping on board now?
Well, in addition to there being the clutter at all the position where he qualifies, so even if he keeps homering, I'm just not sure he'll be able to break that threshold. 14 home runs to 3 doubles this year. How amazing is that?
Yeah, that he hit the ball so hard and so far off Noah Syndergaard yesterday. Maybe he's just red hot, but it's hard to dismiss it entirely.
He'll hit some home runs. I'm just like last year, 2 years ago, infield being breaking down differently than it does now. This would be an exciting topic, an exciting move into regular at bats for Jerko. But it's just not moving the needle for me the way things have gone this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Jerko be somebody that in a deeper roto league, if I need to make a push for home runs and, you know, was sort of punting batting average, then he'd be a target. So it's not the, you know, the biggest praise for him.
How about Ryan Schimpf or Jed Jerko?
I'd rather have Schimpf.
Yeah, me too.
Ooh,
trust the playing time, and at least he walks.
Oh, you know who doesn't walk? Here's another random stat for you. Rougned Odor, he's drawn 9 walks this season.
Yep.
Does that blow your mind?
That's been a disappointment. It has. I mean, he wasn't a good walk guy last year, but he wasn't embarrassingly bad. He's become kind of a more hyped version of Jonathan Scope.
He's having a good year, but
yeah,
not bad. Walks. I mean, is he a top 12 second baseman in points leagues? It's pretty close.
Yeah, he is. I think he's around 10th.
Okay. And he did miss a little time at the beginning of the year, so maybe that's not the fairest assessment.
And
anyway,
he had a suspension too.
Right. But that's, I mean, I was hyping this guy as, first of all, he was getting drafted in like round 4, and I was saying he could emerge as like a first rounder next year. It's not even close. I think his stock has fallen from where it was when he was drafted.
By the way,
he's 12th. Some of that has to do with the position as well.
True.
Yeah.
He's 12th in points leagues. I'm sorry, Rougned Odor. But as we mentioned, he did miss some time. He's got 10 steals, 18 home runs, .280 batting average. Do you think Odor is going to be the kind of guy like Adam Jones who can have a respectable batting average without walking?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would expect that.
Kipnis or Odor, rest of season?
Odor. But did you hear the hesitation there?
I really do have to think about it, but I will go with Odor too.
Zobrist or Odor, rest of season?
Zobrist.
I'll take Zobrist.
Zobrist. Here's another random stat for you. I saw this on the broadcast last night on the Yes Network. CeCe Sabathia and Doug Fister, they faced off yesterday. They entered last night in the top 5 in lowest exit, as my phone says, lowest exit Velociraptor in the American League. Of course, that would be lowest exit velocity. So they are among
the phone.
And Sabathia is number 1, the best soft contact in the American League.
Well, that backs up what he and the Yankees have been saying. During that stretch, that 6-start stretch where he allowed 4 earned runs or more, which I think was only the second time he had done that in his whole career, they'd been saying, you're not getting hit that hard. He's not getting hit hard. So it just seems like a luck issue. And then maybe we saw the luck begin to turn around. I mean, I still like the incorporation of these new pitches this year. The velocity's been higher. I still think there's something to that success he was having early on.
Yeah, but you know, he was pretty unlucky, and I watched a lot of that, and infield hits and bad defense and things like that, but he also just stopped getting swings and misses.
Mm-hmm.
And last night Sabathia got 13 swinging strikes, which
his some of those games during that, I think he had the 2 highest swing and miss games of his career during
it was a 6-start stretch.
But the last three.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, it's gone up and down, but I don't think you can say this is the reason he's struggling, because he still had some really good swing and miss games during the struggles.
Well, but also home runs. That's the other thing that's concerning me, because Sabathia gave up 2 runs in 6 2/3 last night. Both of them were solo home runs, so that makes it, I guess, 7 home runs allowed in his last 7 starts, after allowing 1 home run in the previous 7 starts when he had a .82 ERA. Sabathia is only 37% owned. What is that? How does that sound to you guys?
That sounds like regression. He wasn't going to be a .82 ERA guy, so the home runs are part of solving that.
But the 37% ownership rate, you know, I was among those, you know, I'd say about a week ago, saying people should drop him. I dropped him in one league. But 37% does strike me as too low. I mean, he's somebody in a anything deeper than a 12-team mixed league, you should be stashing him.
And I know guys like, you know, Skaggs, Paxton, John Gray, I think is, well, I think he's getting close to 80 now, but he's still tremendously underowned. I mean, Sabathia's not on their level, but he's sort of the next tier down. I'm sure there are plenty of starting pitchers who are owned in too many leagues relative to him.
Yeah. Well, let me throw out some names, because these were the guys who went last night that are owned in between 28 and 68% of leagues. Bartolo Colon had a really good start. Irvin Santana has, since my birthday.
Oh, really?
That's when this started turning around for Irvin Santana. June 19th, 7 starts. He's got a 2.02 ERA. So I think there's something there that involves my birthday.
Did you ask for that for your birthday?
I might have wished for that. Yeah, I don't own him in any league, so probably not.
Did you voice what you wished for, though, or did you keep it to yourself?
Of course not. You think I'm crazy?
Okay.
Wishes won't come true if you voice them. Everybody knows that.
Well, that's why I was saying if you did, then we could eliminate that as a connection.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So Bartolo Colon, Irvin Santana, Tyler Skaggs, 56% owned. Bud Norris, CeCe Sabathia, Andrew Cashner, Tom Kohler. Who would you prefer to Sabathia from that list of Colon, Santana, Skaggs, Bud Norris, Cashner, and Kohler?
Skaggs, that's it.
Skaggs and Cashner.
Oh, yeah, I overlooked Cashner. You're right. Both of them. Santana's pretty close. I'll take Sabathia over him, but I think they're going to get similar results going forward.
Now, how about this list of pitchers owned in 80% or more of leagues? Gio Gonzalez, better lately? Yeah, better lately.
Yeah.
James Shields, a lot better lately. 171 ERA in his last 6 starts. but 6 home runs. He's given up a ton of solo homers.
And the peripherals are so lousy. I don't understand how this is happening, but I still don't think it happens much longer.
Doug Fister, 83% owned. Here's something that I saw on Fister yesterday. He's got a really good ERA against the American League West and an ERA over 5 against everybody else. And that was last night against the Yankees. Francisco Liriano, just terrible. I was hopeful for Liriano. I thought he was turning a corner, but he turned right around last night. And Jared Eichhoff, 80% owned. Two of his last 3 starts were really bad, but one was at Colorado. Two of his last 3, I think, before last night's great start at Miami.
Yeah. He had some interesting comments after that start, too. He used his fastball more inside, he said, which made his curveball more effective, and just talked about how he realized how big a difference being aggressive makes. So, you know, maybe nothing, but if he goes on a run after this, it wouldn't surprise me either. So yeah, I guess you're asking which of these 5 we'd take over Sabathia.
Yeah, you know, how about over Cashner?
Pretty close. Gonzalez, maybe Eichhoff. They're all in the same tier to me, though, even though the ownership percentages say otherwise.
None
over
none
Cashner.
For me.
Wow, okay.
Or Sabathia.
I was thinking about dropping Sonny Gray if he had a bad start. I ended up trading Sonny Gray yesterday or Monday morning before this start, so I no longer am a Sonny Gray owner. But I don't know how to feel about it. He doesn't pitch deep into games anymore. He goes 6 innings basically every time out. He's getting a decent amount of quality starts, but look, 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 homers allowed, 8 strikeouts. That was good at Texas. I don't know. I'm not that excited about what happened last night. Gray's 91% owned. What would you guys do with Sonny Gray?
I would hang on to him. And here's the thing. So in a roto league with the deeper rosters, I think that it makes sense to stash Gray, but his strong suit is, or at least had been, points leagues, because he had been very efficient, a guy who did go deep into games. I think the decline in his control this year has really hindered his ability to get quality starts and rack up innings. But I still think with 2 months left in the season, a little more than 2 months left, that that's something that Gray still has time to turn around.
Gray or Skaggs?
Ah, gosh. To own, I'll say Gray. I can't drop Gray for Skaggs. I think it's obvious. I'd rather start Skaggs right now.
Buy low on Sonny Gray? Do you have enough confidence in him to call him a buy low?
Depends what low is. Is low Kashner?
Michael Fulmer.
No, that's not a buy low.
Well,
I'll take
just
Fulmer
because
over
of the
Gray.
Innings.
Yeah. Still take Fulmer over Gray.
How about Clayton Kershaw?
Come on.
What? He might miss the whole year.
He might not.
What would be low? How about Melvin Upton?
Well, I mean, in a points league, sure. And in Roto, where you need those steals, and Upton's one of 16 players who has more than 15, I think. Which is pretty amazing if you think about it. I'd rather hold on to Upton.
Same here.
Cool. Let's talk about some more hitters. I talked about Adam Duvall yesterday, and then he hit 2 home runs, reverse jinx.
Yep, good job.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say about that. Alex Dickerson, 4% owned. Marwin Gonzalez, 15% owned. They've shown some power lately. Any comments, guys, on Dickerson or Marwin Gonzalez?
Well, Dickerson, it's kind of bad timing that he has this home run binge 3 consecutive games because, Melvin Upton out of the way in San Diego, it seemed like a great opportunity for them to work Hunter Renfroe, one of their top prospects, big power hitter, huge numbers at AAA, to work him into the lineup. But they're talking probably not until September. Could always change, but I think they want to get a look at Dickerson between now and then. And Dickerson, he had pretty good numbers in the minors, hit over 300, decent power. So I don't know. I just, guys who don't really get an opportunity until age 26. I think that says something about their upside in and of itself.
I mean, we could say the same thing about Schimpf, who I think is 28.
Yeah.
But I think that Schimpf's a pretty, unusual player in terms of his progression. So, yeah, Dickerson, 4%. I don't know that I would look at him beyond NL-only leagues. Like Scott said, decent power, but, nothing to write home about either.
The Padres are closing in on a MLB record for consecutive games with a home run, by the way.
Yeah, that's I think there's only 2 teams ahead of them.
I don't think it's come up when I've been on, but has there been much Billy Hamilton talk recently?
Yeah, Heath talked about Billy Hamilton Tuesday, I think. He's moved up in the order. He's scoring more runs. He's stealing bases. And like I said, when Heath brought him up, he's only killing you in 3 categories now instead of 4.
Oh, but man, as badly as you need steals in Roto, I think he must start. And I actually picked him up in a couple points leagues. I'm sure he's already owned in all the Roto leagues, but the points leagues, I would guess less than half. And steals are worth 2 points there. The run he's been on that's allowed him to steal, I think it's 15 bases in 15 games or something. It's dependent on a batting average he can't sustain, but he is hitting fewer fly balls than ever this year by a large percentage.
Good job.
Way down on the fly ball rate.
Yeah,
that's great.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he's figured that out. And so I just with his speed, he should get a lot of infield hits. His BABIP should be higher than an average BABIP. And for most of his career, it's been lower. I could see him hitting 275, 280 rest of way. And if he does that, I think that'll make him startable in all formats, provided he runs at the rate he should run and has been running.
So Billy Hamilton's been good. You know who hasn't been good for a while now?
Who?
Well, he hasn't been good. Robinson Cano, last 38 games. He is the number 17 second baseman in points leagues, number 22 in Roto. And that's with a .312 batting average, but there's just very little power. 4 home runs and 8 doubles in 38 games. And, he's got 22 home runs, which is already more than what he hit last year. He hit 14 in 2013, or 14, hit 21 in 2015, 22 home runs so far in 2016. Great year for Cano, but the power has gone away over the last 38, 39 games. What do you guys make of it?
Maybe he's a little bit of a streaky hitter because he's had these big power outages, but I was close to writing him off at that point, but
coming into this year,
Into this year,
yeah, I'd gone that far. I was calling him a bust. My days of doubting Robinson Cano are over.
Yeah, no, mine too. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting start sit quandary because second base has gotten deeper, but I think probably 9 out of 10 leagues I'd still be starting Cano.
Do you have anything to say about Chris Tillman or Marcus Stroman that's going to just knock my socks off?
No.
I did advise Tillman as somebody to sit even with two starts this week because the peripherals haven't been great and the matchups this week were bad. So,
so far it's worked out.
So far, so bad for Tillman.
Oh, well, I wish I had taken your advice. Chad Bettis, Lucas Harrell, they're available in a lot of leagues. Any interest?
No,
not at all.
Okay, let's finish off with emails and some trades to grade. Matt from Seattle. Hey, Junior, Bone, and Poppy. Yeah.
Are those Mariners? Like mid-90s Mariners?
Who's Bone?
Isn't that Buehner?
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah?
Jay Buehner.
Excellent call.
Okay.
And Poppy was Edgar Martinez, right?
If you say so. Matt's from Seattle, so you're probably right. I'm in a 12-team head-to-head categories league with OBP. It's a 5-keeper league. He needs some third-base help. Should I trade Harper straight up for Donaldson or Arenado?
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. It's particularly Donaldson. I think they're, you know, Donaldson
is better than Harper. Thank you. End of story.
Well, no, I just think even if Harper rebounds to last year's standard, it's not going to be, it's going to be in the same stratosphere as,
right.
as Donaldson. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, because it's a keeper league, I mean, I do think Harper is clearly more valuable than Donaldson.
Okay.
Think specifically in this format, in this case, I'll look up the email. I didn't include it in the notes. I don't think he's keeping either one of them. I don't think he can.
Oh, okay.
Well, that changes.
Yeah,
Al's right, though. If it is keeper, you just shouldn't give up Harper in a keeper league unless somebody's trading you like half their team. Adam, he's like 23 years old. He's going to be as confidently as I can say at age 23, a player is going to the Hall of Fame. I feel like I can say that about Harper.
I know, but I said that about Carlos Correa after the first week of the season.
It still may be right.
Yeah.
Not like Correa's had a bad year. Neither is Harper. It's just not been they just haven't been as good as last year.
Yeah. Okay. Tom in a 10-team points head to head league, also 5 keepers, giving up. Well, let's see. I'm not sure which side is which. Okay, here we go. Giving up Hanley Ramirez, Sonny Gray, Jonathan Lucroy, and Matt Moore. Hanley Ramirez, Sonny Gray, Jonathan Lucroy, and Matt Moore. Getting back, Yasmani Grandal, JD Martinez, and Cole Hamels. Grandal, JD Martinez, and Cole Hamels.
Well, I certainly like this better in a 10-team league where I don't think Matt Moore really has a whole lot of value.
I don't think Handling does either.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. I think Lucroy is the only instrumental player you're giving up, and you're getting two in Hamels and Martinez, so I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah. All right, this is from Andrew. I think it's from Andrew. If it's not from Andrew, yeah, it's from Andrew. He says, "Dear Logan, Evan, and Brandon."
Sound like the middle of the Rays lineup.
Yeah, does sound like that.
Yeah.
It could be one of two Logans.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
in
Brandon?
Chain
Geyer?
Geyer. Okay.
Yeah, in the chain below, you will notice an email I sent to the podcast in early May on what many found to be a questionable trade. Now, I didn't include the chain below, but it exists. David Price for Tanner Roark, Gene Segura, and Tyler White. David Price for Tanner Roark, Gene Segura, and Tyler White. In early May, this trade was proposed. I'm sure Adam elected not to even read the email on the air, given he would have vetoed it in 2 seconds. However, I looked over the stats since May 1st when the trade was executed. And with Tyler White no longer being a factor, you could still make a case that the Roark owner received a better end, getting Roark, Segura, and White for David Price. Although I bet the whole podcast team would prefer the Price side, I am confident only Adam would have vetoed. I believe this is a perfect example of why not to veto trades unless there is obvious collusion. I don't think I would have vetoed that.
I wouldn't have. And I think this is an excellent point, though. Something that looks lopsided. I mean, and if there's any rationale for an owner to do it, I think you have to let the process play out.
Yeah. Yeah. There was plenty more rationale than even there is now. But I mean, I don't think, like, we're all still taking Price over Roark today,
right?
You know, so it's not like,
but it's not Vito.
Oh, Roark's proven to be better than Price. Like, yeah. I don't know that it's quite that simple.
Here's an email from JD in Madison. I have Joey Gallo in my NA bench spot, and David Dahl is in my regular bench spot. The rest of my outfield is Cargo. I'm assuming that's Gonzalez. Gregory Polanco, Billy Hamilton, and Charlie Blackman. It is an 8-team league with 4 outfielders. So he has Blackman and Carlos Gonzalez, Polanco, and Billy Hamilton. Should I drop, who should I drop now that Joey Gallo has been called up? Gallo, David Dahl, Billy Hamilton. Who would you guys suggest?
Gallo, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, you'd rather have Dahl than Gallo?
I would, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I trust the playing time more for Dahl.
Well, I actually don't. Is it clear he's going to stick around after the Baltimore series?
I mean, no, it's not, but I'm not totally convinced that Gallo's sticking. I mean, the situation's unclear for both of them, but I think there's a clearer path to regular for Dahl, because I'm sure somebody from the Rockies outfield is going to get traded.
And I think it's really hard for a talent of Dahl's caliber to fail at Coors Field. I mean, it's kind of the argument I made for Trevor Story the start of the year, and he's only exceeded everybody's expectations. So that factors into it, too.
I'll just end the show with a Trevor Story note as I look it up, but why don't we take some guesses? How much higher, before I even look it up, I'll give a guess. How much higher do you think Trevor Story's OPS is at home compared to the road?
I'll say 150 points, which I have a feeling might be low.
I feel like it's even closer than that, or else Adam wouldn't be bringing it up. I'll say 100.
I'm going to say 65 points.
Okay.
Oh my God, I am so wrong. I didn't realize this. He's actually being really bad away from home. Well, there's power. I thought Trevor Story was having a good year on the road, but he's batting 232. With 11 home runs and 31 RBIs. So a 470 slugging. Let's see. 770 minus 6 is 764 on the road.
Write you that could down. Have just opened it in a site where they do the OPS.
Yeah, I know. 764 plus 1,093, 1,086. So 1,086 and 764.
Everybody's going to remember that they're going to cut this little piece out of the podcast and make it their ringtones. That's how nice it is to listen to.
He's got an OPS over 300 points higher at home. I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
None of us did.
That's good to know when you're setting your lineups. If you have,
I guess, but it's not like he's bad on the road. I mean, 11 home runs, for,
232, 294, 470.
I don't know.
Yeah, leagues where I've got Story, some of those leagues actually have a pretty decent shortstop. On my bench. So,
same here. Yeah, same here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, guys, get out of here. Show's over.
Oh.
Hit
see you
road.
Later.
Bye bye.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Al Melchior, Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. See you tomorrow.